Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the earnings call of Paragon. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Klaus-Dieter Frers.
So thanks, ladies and gentlemen, for your time this morning to listen to a short presentation followed by questions and answers. You know that we have presented the half-year's results yesterday from our subsidiary Walterbox, and the day before yesterday with Walterbox, and yesterday with the six-month results of Paragon. If you go to slide number two, you see in what operating segments we have resulted, and of course, we are not pleased with the results of the second quarters, which has given us not the best results for the first half year. We will discuss this later. But please don't forget that Paragon as a whole has increased the revenues in comparison to last half year by 22.2%. And also our subsidiary was on track with 77.3% over the last half year. And we will, of course, discuss in detail what were the reasons for the negative results. And that guides us to slide number four. What are the major events in the first half year? And again, let me start with what we call Paragon Automotive. Paragon Automotive is the Paragon company complete as whole minus Walterbox. So this is where we make business with the automotive industry. We started this year with a good Q1. And the reason was we, of course, have access to the data platform of the auto firms and also of external marketing institutes. So we began the whole planning with very conservative planning. And this reduction of the sales of our largest customer, Audi, this is known, was planned in. And the real numbers in Q1 followed very good the plan. But in the second quarter, we have to see that even if we have planned this very, very conservative, the numbers from Audi were even below these numbers. As the acoustics division, so microphones and other stuff, is mainly Audi, and also part of our sensor business is done with Audi. It's only part, but this influenced, of course, effects on the sensors business unit and the acoustics division. But as cockpit division, mainly through the instrumentation and behind instrumentation, mostly it's Porsche, is above the plan. Also, body kinematics with these adjustable spoilers is far above plan. So from the side of the expectation and on the real numbers in the first half year, in terms of revenues, we are mostly at the better edge of the expectation. If you recall, our automotive business was planned for 115 to 135 million euros for the all year, and now the expectations are with 130 minutes on the upper end. So they've seen that in our case, Paragon Automotive, we have not the same problem that other competitors give to the media and to the market, sales problems because of declining of market. This is not the case. You can see the numbers. The problem is that this effect, what I explained before, that we have less sensors, less acoustics, but more body kinematics, makes an unfavorable product mix with weaker profitability. And so the effects of body kinematics, we will discuss this later in a little bit, hit us. So the problem of automotive is not sales, next half year to come, this is not expected, but the profitability through the problems we had with body kinematics affected. And with Volterbox, of course, this is the consolidation effect. Who of you listened the day before yesterday to the Volterbox conference already know that Volterbox has planned more intralogistics, so forklift sales, and the first attempt to sell this central through Austin failed. So within the last month, we set up a regional U.S. Sales offices because this business turned out to be very regional. And so the effects will come, but this will come later. And Volterbox was not nervous about this because that would be overcompensated by a very high margin major order out of the 5G network. And in the very last minute, so only in August, so very few before Volterbox published the warning, this first order was postponed mostly to 2020 because the customer requirements changed last minute. So this is not the fault of Volterbox, but of course the consequences we have to bear. So, and this caused that the loss in the first half year will not be fully offset over the year. So at the end of the year, Volterbox US will have loss. Of course, this is then consolidated to Volterbox as whole, and that is consolidated as Paragon as a whole. So this is the effect of US. And with the European sales of Volterbox, we were rather pleased, but unfortunately, our largest cell supplier changed its technology, which is very favorable for us, in a way which was not as set before. So we have a delivery stoppage in the second half year between 2 and 3 months. So there's an interruption of sub-areas of the production. And so shift of sales is the problem here. So as there is a lack of sales, and of course, Volterbox was on the way to much higher sales. So now the fixed costs are too high. So it's the consequence that Volterbox will end up with a loss this year. And what measures they have taken on, we can discuss later on. There is also a relative to what is discussed now, a relatively smaller issue which can change easily. We had with Volterbox, the usage rate of material is too high in the first half year, but this is a one-time issue which can be solved. So if you now go quickly to slide number 5, for Volterbox, our subsidiary is a brand new market. It's a brand new market in the world, the 5G network. As you know, America is far ahead above Germany with installation of the net. In Germany, they had just the bedding of the frequencies. In America, they are already installing the network. And If you go to slide 6, it's a tremendously big market because with the new frequencies, the distance between one transmission station to the other, the cells are very smaller, much, much smaller, so guess that in a big city, every corner of the street, every traffic light will have such a transmitter. So a big city will have 3,000 or 5,000 of these towers, and you will have factors of such transmitters over the country compared with the 3G or LTE technology. There are two studies out there what in Germany alone these network will use. The one shows 750,000 of these transmission towers. The other calls 1.2 million. So guess how many of these towers in America are used. The customer we have is a provider of such system and handles over five states in America, and the numbers we are talking about are for Texas and for California. A second comparable customer is in discussion, so this will be, of course, we will be not the only one to deliver lithium ion battery for the backup of such systems, but the market is very big and we have just entered. So we are still believing that this is a big future, and we could not plan this in. So it was the whole market was not planned in because the customer has given us the prototype and the development order, but this large order was just to be signed, and so this order was not planned in the forecast. That's the reason why we could not also not publish this order before, and so that may have surprised you, but it was not published, and if you have not signed big order, you cannot publish, so that was the consequence. Again, the new customer requirements, slide number 7, where technically not challenging. This is not a miracle to solve it. If they have decided before, it would not have to be a problem. But now we have to redo the design and do a new validation and so on. So there is just a time delay. It's not a technical issue from our side. It's just that they believe they are better on with new requirements. If you go to slide number 8, So it's a shame that Walterbox has to claim this as a problem, because in reality it's a big chance for us, because the new technology this supplier has is very favorable, because as you see in slide 8, you have less components in per kilowatt hour, so the cost per kilowatt hour dramatically fell with this new technology. So this new technology is something which is a key to for higher margin with such systems, and unfortunately this change of the technology causes an interruption in delivery, and so we are in direct contact with this supplier, of course, every day. So we try, of course, all to cut this stoppage, but. We were, let's say, very conservative in our claiming the stoppage. We do all to shorten this. But again, if you compare, if you with the technology we have so far on the left side, the average of the cost per kilowatt hours, if you calculate this per module, is 620 euros per kilowatt hour. And with the new technology, it drops to 370 euros per kilowatt hour. So it's dramatic. And so, of course, as you know, the prices you can get on the market slightly decrease, but with the new technology, our margin is better. So, on slide 9, very quick, as said, we have implemented a new marketing approach with different regional offices. Four of these five planned offices are already set up, and all the measures in America will be monitored and driven by Mr. Becker, who is the new CFO of Volterbox, a German, very seasoned with Continental Automotive System, living since long years in Texas. And he is now in Delbrück for his first phase to learn our process and so on. And by the end of the month, beginning of September, he is in Austin. Let's go to Paragon. That's slide 10, very quickly. So the ramp-up problems is mainly the new Porsche 992. And the problem here is this is not an order we won. It was won by the company ASS Genian, which we acquired in November 2017. The concept is not from ASS Genian and not from us. We have seen the Porsche-owned concept before, and so in 2017, we rejected this because this is very complicated and very high accuracy requirements. So we denied to take this order, but ASS Genian took it then instead of us, and took it also to a price which is, let's say, not good. And so we earned this problem by buying ASS Genian, and it turned out that some changes Porsche did in 2018, and also problems which with these requirements turned out when ramping up in 2019. So we have to fulfill this order. So the first phase was just to please the customer and to bring quality and bring the right numbers. But this was only possible by massive support from Delbrück people to our site in Landsberg, massive support by other engineers from leasing companies and so on. And we are talking about millions to support these, this project. And then normally it's fortunately that the numbers of the volume of the customer are increasing, but if you have a ramp up where the numbers already has increased by 30% from the earlier plan, you start a new project by working in three shifts. So you have no chance to do the right changes to the processes and so on. So that causes, of course, additional problems. Porsche is aware of this. I personally have guided the discussion with Porsche. They are aware, and they are willing to renegotiate the one-time costs of the project as well as the series price. So we are in discussions which will have success within the next, I would say, two and a half months. So, but again, we have made massive changes to the product to achieve the right thing, but it will not be enough to be profitable with this project if the customer does not agree to price increases. And as I have done this discussion myself, I know that they are willing to do so. Let's go now to the financials. So it's slide number 12. So as know, the Paragon numbers in revenues grow about 22% to 96 million. Electromobility is 77% up of last year. And the mechanics operating system, which is the body kinematics, is approximately 22% above last year. So again, we think the automotive business is rather robust in light of the noticeable problems of competitors. As said, we don't see a revenue problem. We have a problem of the profitability, and this is to 95% of this subsidiary Paragon Movasis GmbH, which is the body kinematics. Of course, Voltobox business, as explained, has now this reduction in sales and in earnings this year, but it doesn't mean that the business model is wrong. So the business model is still attractive. We have not to take anything aback what we discussed before. We have good chances for the future because we can reduce these material input ratio by measures we have undertaken. And of course, the new cell technology will also help very well. A problem, of course, is the increase of personnel in the second second half of last year and beginning of this year, because now sales of Voltobox is down. So then this is easy to understand that the fixed cost does not work, and we have to reduce personnel on this. And if you now go to slide number 16. This is the cash flow statement. The increase in depreciation of fixed assets according to plan. We have an increase in trade receivable, but it's significantly less than in the same period of last year. We have 60% of the planned CapEx investment are already done. And so you see in the summary that operating cash flow from operating activities is comparable to last year. Investment activities is slightly higher because of 60% of the CapEx is already done. And cash flow from financing activities has changed a lot. So the free cash flow is down a little bit, and we come later to also the first prognosis on the free cash flow in a minute. In slide number 17, so you see a summary of the key data of the net assets. So our equity ratio remains with 44% in a high volume. The available liquidity is less than before, yes, but it's still good. And we think we are in a stable condition. Number 19, the backlog remains very high. Of course, this is the 60-month backlog, so you cannot just pull in orders you have on hand for next year or for 2021, which are counted in, of course, in the 60-month backlog into 2019. So the backlog hour over 5 years does not mean that you can fill in these gaps which we have discussed. Number 20 shows the tendency of the free cash flow. We expect with Voltabox and with Paragon as a whole a slightly positive result in the second half year in free cash flow. So that means the trend, if you look to year end, it will slightly improve, but it will be still a double-digit negative result, but you see an improvement. This is our prognosis for the next day, for the end of the year. And before we start questions, let me show that, of course, we are not pleased to have the duty to inform the market about these issues we have or had, but we also ask not to forget that the business model of Paragon with automotive and Voltabox with the electromobility business is intact, and we have good opportunities with the new subsidiary Paragon Semfox. This is just an example. This is not the only. But today is very much is talking about artificial intelligence in cars, and always you talk about the Amazons and the Googles and the Microsofts of these worlds. But in fact, and sometimes you read also about big tier ones in Germany going into this market, but if you compare what they all have, I believe that it's still right what experts have said to us, that our subsidiary Paragon Semfox has a 3 years advantage above all, and this is clearly stated also about the automotive. If you go to 22 to cut this now, automotive is number one, and this is a good reason why these three pictures are on this slide, where they show the today's customers, and of course not the only cars. We are, as I speak, above 15 million cars over lifetime, which are contracted in this minute. That has started in October 2017 with the first Audi cars. Now you can get these software from Semfox by mostly all Audi cars, mostly all Porsche cars, a lot of Volkswagen cars, and what you see on the left on this slide is the new Volkswagen Golf 8, which is introduced to the market in the International Car Show in Frankfurt. Also this, so we are talking about mass production cars which have this assistant in. Semfox is also talking on non-Volkswagen group customers which are also interested in this. And interestingly, there are also applications in non-automotive, mainly in industrial and medical technology, which are also very interesting, and we also go after these chances. And in the more traditional business units of Paragon, the sensors, you know that air quality is our big theme. The new thing is an electroparticle filter, dust protect its name, by filtering the ultrafine particles with a brand new system, which is six times more effective than modern HEPA filters, And as we speak, 5 OEMs are testing this, and the results are fantastic. So we think that is a new big sellers in the future for Paragon. So let me summarize what I'm talking about in slide 24. Again, as said, the business model of the Paragon is absolutely intact. Equity ratio remains high. The Bolderbox Group alone has approximately 78% equity ratio. Our liquidity position is adequate. We have a robust financial foundation. We, of course, have the focus on reduced networking capital. The focus on Bolderbox and at Bolderbox is on high yield, high cash core themes, and of course they have to adjust the cost structure as fast as possible to reflect to the change targets, and this is on the way. So the new products we have or already have in place will again serve mega trends and will also take care that the future of Paragon is good and bright. We are doing all measures that we within this year Paragon Movasys can return to profitability. We expect that Paragon Movasys, the daughter company, will be by mid next year by 3-4% EBIT margin, and again, these are measures which are well defined and very good monitored, so this is safe. And of course, Paragon Automotive is also looking to reduce fixed costs, not only in the Paragon Movasys way, also in other parts of the company, just to prevent if the automotive keeps volatile, and also to have prevention for next year. So to summarize, I would summarize the whole thing that the medium-term outlook is intact despite of the challenges we have to suffer in these days. So I'm happy to answer your questions you might have.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 and star on your telephone keypad. In case you wish to cancel your question, press 9 star again. Please press 9 star now to state your question. And the first question comes from Christian Glover from Hauck & Aufhäuser. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Fairs. I've got two questions. My first one is on your top line. You actually said that you performed better than the market and many of your peers, but I guess you benefited quite significantly from first-time consolidation. So can you talk a bit about what's your organic growth, please, in H1?
Mr. Glover, this is a question I heard a couple of times, but the problem is that you cannot split this, what comes from mother and what comes from father. So yes, we have bought, for instance, Highest Union, but this was in 2017. We have August 2019. And if we would not have there, I swear that Porsche would not have any spoiler 992. Missed to order some tools for parts for the system. They did not do so. We don't know why. We have some assumptions, but that's not for this conference. But so that means we had to invest in this, and so we managed that this is sales and that Porsche is guided. So how you would count the 2.4 2004, I remember the contribution of this 992 project alone in first half year. How you would count this? Is this sales we, what you would assume, bought or what we made? So we worked our, excuse me to say this directly, our ass off to bring this to the market and not Asus-Genian. So, and this is a story you can tell about any of the other orders we are talking about. So it's not just, so the picture you might have that this is just running business you buy, this is not true. Sometimes companies that are for sale, they have their reason why they are sold. And we have to, let's say, adjust things, repair things, and put our own expertise on. Porsche, to stay with this example, likes what we are doing, but and because we have saved their production, and so I hesitate to believe that this bought business. And this, the same story I can tell by most of the things we are doing. So mathematically, it would be possible what you are asking, but it would not tell the truth.
Yeah, okay. I just thought, despite Asus-Genian, you acquired quite a lot of other smaller companies, and obviously you do have a first-time consolidation effect.
Yes, there is one.
That would be interesting.
Glover, Mr. Glover, may I just, to be honest, there is a small effect in the acoustics. As you are with the company for a longer time, you remember that we lost in beginning of 2018, I think, an order for a very simple microphone of Volkswagen. This was the most simple microphone we produced ever. And there was a Polish guy who was cheaper than us, and we didn't want to lose money. So, but this is 2 million euros in before, something like this. So the turnover. And of course, this is compensated by sales of speakers with the new subsidiary, which is now called Electroacoustic. Before it was LPG, and there's running business with speakers to the auto industry. This would be an effect in the 2 million range or something, which you would call exactly to your question. But this is, okay, in total, this is a minor effect.
Okay, understood. Thank you. And then my second question would be on what you just said about Asus-Genian. Please help me to understand here. You said this company actually received this order from Porsche back in 2017, and it was actually quite complicated and also coming with a weak price, and therefore you rejected it. Why then in the first place?
We rejected it before, excuse me to interrupt, we rejected it because of the technology. We didn't came to an offer. So it was not a price issue. We rejected it in the before.
Okay. And why then have you acquired actually Asus-Genian, knowingly that this company is potentially diluting your profitability? What is the strategic rationale behind acquiring a business that accepted orders which you actually rejected because you thought it's too complicated to fulfill these orders?
This is completely different. Of course, it's a question you can have. First, we started in 2012 our business unit Body Kinematics. So that means all business we did was new. So that means the problem of the business unit Body Kinematics in the old days was that we had no constant business which earned money. We have also these ramp-up problems. So And the rationale was to buy number one in this market, which was Aegis Genian, to get more size, to get the possibility for synergy effects, let's say one administration, one sales, and so on, and to gain momentum to make this a bigger company with a better possibility to make money. So this rationale, I would do next time the same. But the problem in due diligence was it was a competitor. It was number one. We were number three in the market. So we had understanding for the financial investor who owned Aegis Genian before, that they didn't allow us to go into the calculation of each product they have, because if we walk away, we would have information from a competitor. So that means we had there a blinded spot, and this was compensated by massive guarantee clauses in the contract. And guess what we are doing now? This is because it's a legal action. We didn't publish this, but of course the guarantee clauses in this contract are valid, and we go after it. But this is the problem, that we could not see this before because it was a competitor, and we are not allowed to take advantage of seeing all the calculation before.
Okay, very clear. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mr. Glover.
The next question comes from Remo Rosenau from the Helvetische Bank. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, thank you. You mentioned these seven in the press release and the shareholder letter, the 7 million extra costs which you incur in the current business year, which is the main reason why the EBIT for the full year in automotive only will be around 3.5 million. Now, as I understand, you mentioned also in the press release these Anlauf Probleme for new products in kinematics, 3.3 million. Is that referring to this Porsche 992 issue mainly?
The phrase mainly is correct. It's not only. There is also a Aegis Genian combined issue, a smaller issue with a spoiler system for Daimler, but this issue has not the same altitude what we are talking about. But so that means if you would have the 80-20 rule, 80% is the 992. But
yes,
the Daimler thing is also easier to maintain.
Okay.
And
just
to explain also for all, the 7 million, which we are, is the Paragon Movasys, is this one-time effect what we have because we finalize the move to a new ERP system, which alone was costs or one-time cost in the first half year of about 1 million, and we will finalize this move to the a new ERP system by the end of the year. It's online in most of the parts of the company, but not all. So this, of course, costs something, and this is then gone. And the rest is that we have, due to the recent or older acquisitions, we have too many sites in Germany. So the system before these recent acquisition was good, but now we would have a site in Bexbach near Saarbrücken. We would have a site in Saarbrücken itself. We have a site in Nuremberg which works together with these, and so on and so on. So we end up in concentration sites in Germany this year. We have bought two buildings, one in Limbach, which is not too far away from Saarbrücken, and we integrated Bexbach, Saarbrücken and Nuremberg into this. We will bring a couple of production line of the Neu-Ulm site also to Limbach, and so on and so on. So we have, as I think, a very good concept on concentration on sites to save money and to have synergy effects. But and this is finalized within the year, so this will not be a burden for next year.
Yes, and how much of this cost? I think what you just explained refers to the 3.5 million integration costs mentioned in the
exactly,
exactly. Yeah, exactly, yes. Now we have these 3.3 Anlaufprobleme, 3.5 million integration costs, which roughly add up to the 7. How much of this was charged to the first half already, and how much will come in the second half still?
These one-time costs of the ERP change will be approximately the same in second half. The integration cost will be, let's say, two-thirds in the second half, one-third in guessing. Because most of the moves are in front of us. What's done is Bexbach and Saarbrücken to Limbach. The rest is in second half a year. Some of the measures in Peregrine Movasys cost money before they make money. So part of them is done in first half, part is in second half year.
Okay. Now to the balance sheet and the free cash flow. The group has around 10 million cash right now, although in the 30th of June, around 4 at Walterbox and I assume then 6 at Paragon. The open credit lines are, as I see, around 20 million. Is that correct?
If you count this as a whole, yes.
Yes,
so Peregrine as a whole.
You have 14 million Walterbox, as I understood in the conference call of Walterbox, and then around 6.
Yeah. I have not the paper on my desk, but I recall you're right.
Okay. And looking at your free cash flow guidance for the second half, which should be slightly positive at Walterbox as well as at Paragon slightly, do you plan to use these credit lines or... You don't.
So the problem is that Walterbox has ordered material, mainly cells, and not all can be postponed. So you will see an increase of inventory at Walterbox. Over time this is used, but on the other side there is also the payments from Walterbox main customer Triathlon, and the plans I have seen are that we will remain on the same level more or less, so with little, let's say, changes from week to week, but this is covered by the payments from Triathlon.
So roughly you should remain on the current cash level. That is what you're telling us.
In average, yes. From week to week, of course, with changes.
Okay. And you can use the credit lines. There have not been any restrictions due to the current events.
No.
Okay. And about the inventory increase, could you just tell us by how much the inventories will increase at Voltabox in the second half?
I would have to ask this. I have this number not by mind.
Okay. That's all from my side for now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from Christian Ludwig from Bankhaus Lampe. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. Two from my side. First of all, if I understand your guidance correctly, that means that we should see a positive EBIT from the Paragon Automotive in the second half. Could you give us an indication, is this going to be distributed evenly across Q3 and Q4, or should we expect a zero in Q3 and then the positive contribution in Q4 alone, just to get an idea how that is spread across the second half. And question number two would be a little more on the general environment. Talking to other automotive companies, we're hearing that the pressure from OEMs is increasing. I've heard from one company specifically that the first customer is asking for 360-day payment terms. What is your experience from your customers? Is the pressure rising there due to their weak position?
Can I answer the second question? Yes, I have not heard this in our environment, and I would be a surprise to see this. There are other tough industries you can serve in the food industry and so on and so on, and also the automotive environment is tough. It was tough 5 years ago. It will be tough in 5 years ago. So has the pressure increased? We don't feel it. It's a tough business, and it's always a fight on prices and so on, and quality, delivery times, and so on. But other than what I see in the newspapers, the people you are talking to, they know that they are dependencies from both sides. So not all tier ones are interchangeable. And we are in a position that if someone would think to throw us out as a total, they would have a lot of problems, and they need a lot of money and a lot of time to throw us out, because in 2018, more than 70% of our whole revenues, we were a single source. So that means, to summarize, the pressure of the customer was always there, will be ever there. Is it now increasing? The increase is in other positions. So they try to postpone payments on one-time costs by inventing problems. So this, in my feeling, is the sign of a change. So they try to find problems to have a reason not to pay tooling costs and to postpone the payment of tooling costs. Yes, this is what we see also as a problem here, that if I recall the number right, that by today we have more than 7 million euros parked, you could say, as one-time costs of the auto industry, not paid yet, because we think that has to be paid, and they have said things we don't believe. So this is an effect, and that can be maybe combined with the overall condition of the auto industry. But payment terms on goods, that is not an issue. So with the EBIT of automotive, I can only answer what is the average, let's say, history over the years of Paragon Automotive. And of course, the third quarter is always the quarter with the vacation of some auto firms. So that means some number of the auto firms do not decrease over this time, and some do. So that means traditionally the third quarter is influenced by this, and the fourth quarter is traditionally the best in the automotive business all the years. You can see this is Paragon, and from the view of today, it can be the same this year.
Maybe I could rephrase it a little bit differently. I understood that some of the integration costs or the integration costs will be more in the second half. Also, the move of this cost are split between first half and second half. So is it fair to assume that at least Q3 will be another loss-making quarter for Paragon Automotive?
Our numbers show this differently, but again, I hesitate to answer now because this would be then insider information. I don't believe I can say this now, but what I can say that the numbers we have published for all years are very, very deeply analyzed, and we wanted to prevent, as a personal side note, that over the year we would have to come with a second notice that we cannot fulfill the own plans. So I still have hope that the reality is slightly better what we published. But again, this is a personal side note and not officially.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from Thomas Schießle from Equitz. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions. Actually, there are two. Mr. Frears, coming to Movazis once again, what is the lesson learned out of these integration problems and the ramp-up difficulties? And will the ramp-up and the operational performance in the future be quite very, very much better than in the past with those concentrated factory structure in Germany? So is the reduction of sites not only a cost issue, it is more an efficiency and issue of production excellence? This is the one question, and the other is concerning Paragon Automotive. To my feeling, there are it would be it would help to be in more to have more customers, a widespread customer bases in the future. So what are your attempts to improve the number of customers and the series you will be in with your products? Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Mr. Schießle. So first to Movazis, three answers. First of all, as you said, you're absolutely correct. The new site structure helps a lot. We have bought a building in Landsberg am Lech and have moved in or are in the process of moving in. And this is a little production just for, let's say, small numbers and samples. And it is part of the development, and it is also the sales center because Landsberg is very near to Munich, to Ingolstadt, and to Stuttgart. And all series production is then concentrated in a new site we are planning for next year here in Delbrück, and we can also integrate part of the production of Landsberg also in the current site in Delbrück. So first of all, with this strategy to summarize all series products, of course, it's it's not only just saving direct costs, it's also the synergy effects in quality assurance and so on. So this is the main step. The lessons learned is two-sided. First, not only ASH Genian, as the lack of Paragon Mobis is now in Landsberg, but also Mobis is central, so the old business unit Body Kinematics, have to improve in the change process. So that means the customer changes or asks for a change, a modification, and we were not good enough, this is the own critics, to ask for money before we change anything. Mm-hmm. So, and that's not only AC Genian, this is also self-made in Delbrück. So that means the process to charge the customer for changes was too weak, and so we had, remember last year, the 2.2 million, which we then, with a lot of efforts, we gained them, but it was gained afterwards instead of directly before. So we had to learn, of course now this is implemented, it's past what I'm talking, but the lessons learned is that we have to do this just right instead of the people we have, they wanted to have the customer happy and to serve the customer, to give them the quality, the numbers, and the timing they want. And they have a little bit forgotten that the customer has to pay for this. So this process now is implemented and works, but this is the lesson learned. And the second, this is more for the next phase with new orders, that that one, let's say, this Body Kinematics has in its DNA, because of very complicated electromechanics in comparison to sensors, microphones, and so on. You can image this easily, that the efforts to get one product out of the company is much higher in terms of one-time costs because of tooling costs, plastic, metal, and so on and so on. So it's so that means if we don't pay attention, we fix lots of costs, of fixed costs, before we get any euro out of the customer. So that means the DNA of this business is against the normal business attitude you have, so that the customer pays in the same frequency as you do things. So that means in that part of the business, we play bank for the customer. And that has to change, and that is the lesson learned. That can be changed with new orders, not, of course, with the present orders. And this is now the politics of the company, that we don't pay our sub-suppliers and then waiting on getting the euros out of the customers. So then we are in the middle of two. Mm-hmm. And this is something where we have to change the process, and this you can do with new products, of course, not with the present ones. Customer-based automotive. You're absolutely right. And here, China will play a role. We are a little bit behind our own plans in China. This is not a big problem. But we are very pleased that within the last month, what new orders they got, and what real Chinese customer came. We have the other week a big delegation of one of the biggest Chinese automakers here, and they were very pleased. So as it is automotive, the results of this is not next week, because it will come in a year or two into production. But if you would read the names we have already orders from in China, so over the next, call it 2 years, this will be a bigger part in our portfolio. We have nice contracts in discussion with French automakers. We believe we can do more in Italy, where we are still hesitating to believe that we can do much more in America. Of course, we try, but there I would not say the same what I just discussed. So it's, let's say, other countries in Europe, it's China, and of course the normal daily work with the non-Volkswagen group companies, where we have very nice new orders and so on. So over the years, the non-Volkswagen group customers will grow.
What will be the implication concerning the production structure globally if your Chinese efforts will flourish? Do you have to invest quite an amount in Kushan factory?
Thankfully, the first investment into Kunshan had to be higher than the what we can use in the first 2 years. This is the reason is simple. Kunshan, the city of Kunshan, gives you the building for very cheap rent, very cheap, but you have to invest into the interior of the building yourself. And so this is the real investment. And so we have done this, and it's much bigger than we use it today. Second, the parallel building is just a twin, was occupied by an Australian company which went out, and we took advantages and rented it for Walterbox, and the plan was to have Walterbox in Kunshan there. Because of the plans, which obviously had to be changed with Walterbox, the focus on Walterbox now is not China in this phase. And we found a German company which rented this open space from Walterbox. So, in fact, it's making a little money instead of costing money. So this is covered. And as Walterbox today has no plans for Kunshan, this second building, which is already equipped, so it's so the interior is there and there's furniture and so on and workspaces and so on, but rented out to another company. So we can easily take this also for Paragon if this is needed. So that means infrastructure investment zero. It would be just an investment into production lines, and this is normally dealt with the customer itself.
Thank you so far. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There are no further questions.
Okay, so then I would just say thank you for your time and for your questions, and I hope I could answer them as good as you expected, and I'm looking forward to speak all of you in 3 months.